for this. These are going to be landscape features in someone's backyard instead of a place where their true cultural importance is all linked together. You need to have the lands connect in order to have a true cultural landscape. There also needs to be a better mechanism in place for enforcement of preservation plan agreements on private lands. We get calls from people saying, you know, there's supposed to be a trail to this koa. And my Keiki and I tried to go to pay our respects before we went fishing. My dad used to take me there. It's blocked off with thorny bushes. Who am I going to call? Well, I don't know what to tell them. So there should be a hotline or something where people, and there should be clear signs posted too. If there's cultural use of a site, generational use, it should be made clear so that the public knows. And then there's the myth of the barren zone that's between the coastal zone and the uplands. This has just been so disproven in Maui, in the Moku of Honuaula, in Kula Moku, in Kahiki Nui. It should just not be acceptable in any current preservation or AIS plan to refer to these barren zones. They're just not there. And then there's the, oh shoots, I can't see anymore. This thing came on. Do I only have 12 seconds? Well, we need clear.
Yes, dear, you have 7 seconds now. I'm so sorry.
Okay, we need clear standards for AIS documents and preservation plans, because consultants will turn in 5, 6, 7 drafts. They, you know, our staff shouldn't have to work that hard, and citizens shouldn't have to correct all these mistakes. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing your manatlo. Next we have, let's see, we went to Rosalyn Cummings. Is Rosalyn Cummings available for testimony today? Rosalyn Cummings? Okay.
Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha. Thank you, dear. You have your 3 minutes.
Eku mako make make no ka aina. True desires to stand for aina. I am a wahine maoli, a cultural practitioner here on the island of Kauai, part of a nonprofit organization, Iolokaku Hawaii. I have a gift of Ike Kupuna. I came forward with 18 Ali'i Moku burial sites here on the island of Kauai that are be upcoming for development. Kukona, Manoklanipo, Nako Oko'o, Luanu'u, Kekuiapu Iwa Nui, Kekuiapu Iwa the Second, Mahi Olole, you name it. I know from the north, south, east, and west. This is the amount of paperwork that I have submitted so far that the SHPD have sat on, and because of it, the development continue. I am no longer able to enter Benjamin Namu, my 6-time great grandfather's aina. He was a well-known person in his time, very well respected. We come from the Kamuli in Kamehameha lines. Kamehameha's mother is on his aina in the area of Poki'i Kauna, where Mahi Olole and Kikuiapu Iwa the Second, Kamehameha's mother is on that aina along with Ike Namu, George William Kaila Malambunui Makanui. I am one of many descendants. On this particular aina, I wish you guys could see, but it says right here in the 1970s map, B Namu, 20 acres of land, fish pond, graves. When I met personally with SHPD and Burial Council, I came in every single month that I could possibly talk about these incidents. I got ignored. My paperwork got sit on for 6 months. Construction started. The archaeologists did not notify me when they desecrated burials. I was there one day, got cited, threatened arrest. And this is across the board, I'm out there. These are very well-known burials. We need to come out and notify our people. How do we preserve these sites that SHPD have denied documentation for? I've submitted affidavits of truth of Rosalyn Cummings. I have no blanks in my genealogy. I have proof of the history of these lands. And I have no issue with submitting these. And I have, but SHPD have continuously ignored my cries and my pleas. The problem here that I see is it's a discrimination. I have known accounts, front row view of when SHPD states the owners have decision over our burials. How is that possible? These people haven't even been on the islands for over 100 years. And these burials are that one that they did in the aina 1300 years old. 1300 years old. So please, I'm asking you guys who took an oath, I demand for you guys to uphold your oath and help us out here. You know, uphold the laws. There's many of laws. Desecration, we cannot do inadvertent. We cannot. The old archaeologist said, if there's a fish pond, there is burials. And there is. There is about 12 to 18 burials that was removed from that 20 acres alone. So I will come back on again. Mahalo for your time.
Thank you so much for your activism and for your passion. We appreciate your words. Let's move on to Elizabeth Okinaka. Elizabeth Okinaka, are you available for testimony? Yes.
Aloha, can you hear me?
Yes, you have your 3 minutes. Mahalo.
Mahalo. My name is Elizabeth Okinaka. I'm in the Ahupua'a of Koloa on the island of Kauai. I'm part of a nonprofit organization, Eola Kako Hawaii. I just wanted to thank you guys for giving us this opportunity. I can personally state that for the island of Kauai, it's been, you know, very, you know, when we're turning in everything that's asked for and it seems like everything is denied, we've had lineal descendants forms been asked, returned, asking for, you know, birth and death certificates for people born or, you know, who died in the 1600s. And SHPTI needs to do more. I'd say on the island of Kauai, we have a lot of developers who are coming in. They're taking advantage of old permits and, you know, incomplete EIS reports. And there's a lot of sacred sites, cultural sites and burial sites that are being desecrated. And I just think that, you know, we really need to call on SHPTI to do more. You know, these permits are being granted on clearly sacred sites and it's wrong. So, you know, we need SHPTI to do more with the county when these developers are coming in. I think extending buffer zones around any known preservation or a historical site would be a great start. I can see on the island of Kauai, we have some burial caves that buffer zones are as small as 50 feet, you know, entire subdivisions developed around heiaus and burial sites. Many of the inadvertent claims are known ohana graveyards and burial sites maps clearly marks graves, but permits are still being granted. So I just ask SHPTI to please step in, do more, and uphold your oath, because you know developers are taking advantage of the system, and we rely on you guys when we don't have the power. So mahalo for this opportunity. Aloha.
Mahalo nui, Elizabeth Okinaka, for your mana'o. We appreciate you and Eola Kako o Hawaii. Next, we have Diego Rivera. Diego, you have 3 minutes. Mahalo.
Mahalo, too. Thank you for your time. My name is Diego Rivera, and I'm a current law student at the William S. Richardson School of Law. I work with Claire Lucien, studied under Professor Kudagawa. And I want to highlight also the AIS process. I really think that it needs to be overhauled, because as it currently exists, it allows developers far too much power and leeway to develop these AISs that are ultimately inadequate and lead to the desecration of burials. Because basically there are no minimum standards for it. And archaeologists can come in, do the AIS on maybe 5% of the however many hundreds acre property, and SHPTI accepts that, says it's good enough, and all these other burials and all these other archaeological sites on the land are completely cast aside and end up being desecrated in the process too. Lucien and I, we go out in South Maui all the time. We walk the Aina, and we are constantly finding archaeological sites that are not at all reported in the numerous different drafts that come up with. We're looking at these maps that are submitted to us, and the topographic lines aren't even correct. There are entire stream drainages missing out of these maps. And it's apparent that a lot of these archaeologists have never even set foot on the land. And it's unacceptable, like Claire was saying earlier. I really think that there needs to be far more consultation with Kanaka Maoli in the development of the standards of AISs, as well as the parameters for each individual AISs on these lands. I yield the rest of my time. That was all I had to say. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak.
Mahalo nui e Diego for offering your thoughts about AIS and overhaul. Let's move on to Kayla Matsushima. Kayla Matsushima, are you online? Kayla Matsushima.
Aloha. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you, Kayla. You have 3 minutes.
Aloha mai kako. My name is Kayla Matsushima, and I was raised in Koloa, Kauai. I'm providing testimony this evening in protection of Iwi Kupuna. In all honesty, I'm disheartened by the lack of support and enforcement from SHPD here on Kauai for the protection of burials and historic sites. It's clear to me that there are many shortcomings that have been brought to your attention that have yet to be addressed. And I know I only have 3 minutes to share, so I'll provide my written testimony in its entirety via email, and will do my best to quickly share a few of the opportunities I see for improvement in SHPD here for the record. Number one, the first and perhaps one of the most important speaks of the word inadvertent. I'm suggesting this classification be removed altogether. I have personally witnessed the term inadvertent being used to label desecration that took place last year during the construction of a house that is still ongoing. When the Ohana came forward months in advance of the disturbance to claim and protect these burials and clearly showed documentation of the word grave indicated on old maps of Kekaha Kauai, they were brushed aside and denied their claims only for the desecration to happen months later and be labeled inadvertent. I also saw this classification used to label the desecration of a burial that had been previously discovered. Neither situation was an accident nor an unknown burial site, yet the archaeologists on site, SHPD and KNIBC, still chose to label it inadvertent. I feel this is a very dangerous loophole being used to avoid responsibility for the desecration that is punishable by law. Number two, the second suggestion is that permits be denied for construction near or within an LCA or royal patent. The probability of desecration of burials is high in these areas. Third is a suggestion that permits requests for construction near or within heiau or sacred sites also be denied. I also support having stricter and larger specified buffer zones around sacred sites put into law. The amount of heiau being destroyed on Kauai and developments being built within feet of their outer walls is unacceptable. Fourth is that desecration laws be enforced to the fullest extent and the governing body with the kuleana to enforce these laws be clearly defined for us and held accountable. Many of the current laws we have in place are pretty well written, but a lot of the problems stem from those not being properly enforced and even knowingly bypassed and ignored by your very own SHPD. Iwi Kupuna is the most important historic property of the past in need of protection. The desecration to each resting human being affects every Kanaka Maoli, whether they realize it or not. It is the duty of SHPD to protect all historic property in Hawaii. Please do not let these shortcomings persist. Kanaka Maoli have suffered too much. Mahalo for your time. Kayla Matsushima.
You're muted, Ka'ahiki. E kala mai.
Oh, e hui kala mai. Mahalo e Kayla for your very passionate words and for your kako'o to the lahui and to Iwi Kupuna and speaking about inadvertence. Very important to hear these voices from our lahui. Next, we have Kaniela. Is Kaniela available? Are you online, Kaniela?
Aloha.
Okay. Mahalo, Kaniela. You have 3 minutes.
Aloha. My name is Kaniela. So I've been involved with EV protection for about 8 months now. Not that long, but from what I've seen done in regards to our ancestors and our sacred sites in those 8 months feels like years to me. I'm sharing this to make aware and put on the record. The purpose of your newest plan, quote, preserving the past to protect the future, end quote, brings up a lot of emotions for me because majority of SHPD, Kauai Burial Council, and your burial site specialists does bring so much disrespect, Hewa and Pilikia, to us original peoples of Hawaii and our ancestors. There's so much I want to say, but because I was only given 3 minutes, I'll choose a few things to say. You guys claim to want to be better managers of our sacred sites, but history has showed and told us you guys haven't. From burial desecrations and redisturbed burial sites, which you claim to be inadvertent, but they were known and documented, to allow foreigners and contractors to destroy our heiaus, rip open our cave systems, which are not only the nostrils of our island, but where our ancestors, including our ali'i, were laid to rest, and the list goes on. What I've observed in SHPD, Kauai Borough Council, and archaeologists is spiritual bypassing. Every situation we've been involved with in the past 8 months, there has been huge spiritual bypass. If you want to help protect and preserve our sites, you have to understand we are spiritual people. You can't spiritual bypass. Hawaiians are spiritual and our bones are sacred. I've witnessed Kauai lead archaeologists toss my ancestors' bones at Vicke Road property like it was a piece of wrapper tossed in the trash. Two other archaeologists tell a group of us EV protectors that they had ripped an infant from a mother's hand and hid them inside the house, only to confess to us because our ancestor told us. I was called to a site in Molawa'a, Kauai, because a known burial had been redisturbed, to show up and see niho, human teeth scattered everywhere because a machine ran over a skull and it exploded. Is this what you call preserving our past to protect our future? My next point, there seems to be so much hoops for us Kanakas to have to jump through to be recognized for who we are, which is a descendant to the people who are being dug up. I sent in my paperwork, stated who I am and who I come from. Most of our ancestors can't be traced by paper. Some of our mo'okuahau or genealogy was passed down orally, yet you'd rather allow a foreigner who purchased a piece of paper saying they now own a piece of land and select a few to determine the faith of my ancestor that was dug from that land. That is wrong. I would like to see SHPD and the Kauai Borough Council be audited so we can all be in pono moving forward. Mahalo.
Thank you very much, Kaniela, for your passionate words and your testimony. Next, we have La'apoipoi. Is La'apoipoi available to testify today? La'a poi poi. Okay, we'll check back. We'll do a ho'i back on La'a. Michelle Lincoln or Michelle Lincoln? Is Michelle Lincoln available to testify today? Michelle Lincoln. All right, next. We'll ho'i back to Michelle. Dr. Mara Mulrooney, will she be testifying today there, Tara?
She submitted written testimony, and I just wanted to add, I guess that Carol Lee did not get, her name somehow didn't get on the list, so she also needs to be added to testimony. Thank you.
Okay. Mahalo. All right. So we're back to Linnell DeMatte. Linnell DeMatte, I saw you online. Are you available and willing and wanting to testify?
Yes, I am, and thank you for the opportunity. My name is Linnell DeMatte. I live on the North Shore, and I live in the Kaunala Ahupua'a, which is next to the Wailee Ahupua'a. And for those of you that are not familiar with the area, it used to be the University Experimental Station. Okay, the University of Hawaii still owns the land, but they had granted the North Shore Community Land Trust a stewardship for 5 years. But I'm here tonight in regards to one of the buildings that still exist on that property. And maybe some of you know or might have family that was there, but it was called the Wailee Jailhouse. The Wailee Jailhouse at one time where young Kanakas were taken there, and they did their time there, and they worked the lo'i there. So I'm the founder of the Malama Wailee Ohana. I'm also a member of the Ko'ola Wailua Alliance, as well as the Sunset Beach Community Association. I'd just like to read a letter that I'd put together. So it says here that we're writing this letter in support of memorializing the young Kanakas of these islands who were inmates back in the early 1900s at what has been called both the Wailea Jailhouse and the Boys' School. The building complex was located in what is now the current site of the Wailea Farm property of the University of Hawaii. One of the original buildings still stands on the Makai side of Kamehameha Highway across from the former Crawford's Convalescent Home. Despite the location's name changes and sometimes murky past, this particular site is a part of our Hawaiian history. These young men worked the land. They gave their blood, their sweat, and tears to the service of the Crown and to other governing bodies. It is important that these past Kanaka lives are not erased into non-existence, but rather that they and their story be recognized, validated, and remembered. So with the organization that are part of our community look forward to conversations with the University of Hawaii. So what I'm, there is an ask here as to for SHPD to advise us as to how we can move forward to encourage UH not to destroy the building, but to side on the side of the community to where we can memorialize these young men. Thank you.
Wow, thank you so much, Linnell, for that. We just learn so much when the community speaks up. So thank you for sharing that and those young men for their sacrifice. Thank you.
Yes.
Next, we have Angela Medeiros. Angela Medeiros, are you available to testify?
Aloha.
Kapua. Akala mai. Ehui kala mai.
Alahilikia. Mahalo. Hui. Aloha. Hoa kula. So, o kapua you know, a ma waimanalo, ano waimanalo mayo. I'm here to talk and learn today. I'm trying to learn how SHPD actually works, how they govern, what makes what they're accountable for. And what I've seen so far is that they haven't been held to their accountabilities. On Kualoa, in Kualoa, as we speak, we have Iwi Kupuna falling out of the sand right at the shoreline. It has been going on for months. No one from SHPD or the Burial Council has showed up to take care of that. The community from all over the island has come to take care of that. That is heva. That is so sad. Like the people before me that talked about their Iwi Kupuna on Kauai, that is very heva. It needs to be taken care of. This is why I want to learn how SHPD is being held accountable. What is the parameters that make SHPD, that gives SHPD their power? And what is it that they're responsible for? I want to know those things. It's kind of sad to me that I'm happy that we have this meeting tonight, but it's sad for me to see that it's not being live streamed when it's easy to do that these days. And it's sad to see that we can't chat with each other. We can only chat with the person running the meeting, and that we have a lot of the controls on the bottom are taken away from us. We can't react to anyone's testimony and all those kind of things. We can't copy the live transcript. All of these things in our community meetings, we allow our participants to do these things, but here we're not allowed. And to me, that's another part of non-transparency. This is why Kanaka get very upset with SHPD, because what we believe they are responsible for is not taking place. And I'm not here to bash, but I'm definitely here to find out what it is I need to do as a community member, as a person who sat down at Hunana Niho, as a person that was arrested to protect Iwi Kupuna, as a kupuna myself, and what it is I need to do to ensure that my future generations don't have to go through this anymore. This is my mana'o. I want to know what it is that we as Kanaka Maoli need to do to hold Shipti accountable. So thank you so much for having this. I would hope that the next one we're informed a little sooner, because late last night I received the message that about this. I sent it out all over to get people to come, and mahalo ke akua that a lot of us were here. Mahalo. Thank you for the opportunity to voice my opinion. Aloha, weho.
Mahalo nui e kapua for all of your mana'o. Next we have...
E kala mai ka ahiki. Auntie Kapua, I'm so sorry. I share your frustration with the short notice. That was a directive of the DLNR communications office that came from above. But what I would say is that for the next meetings, and I am taking to heart everything that people are saying, but for the next meetings, what I would say is if anyone wants to be notified at least in a month in advance, please write to me and I will notify you directly. We're not allowed to release it to the public more than a week in advance, but I consider anyone who's actively participating in these meetings to not be public. So please do reach out and I will be happy to let you know further in advance.
Can I ask why you're not allowed to release it more than a week in advance?
It was a decision by the DLNR communications office, which deals with all press matters. We're not actually individually as DLNR employees allowed to engage with the press directly, but this is not the press, this is the public. And I think that that's a little bit different. These are, you know, everyone here is a consulting party as far as I'm concerned. I do definitely share your concerns at short notification, and that is not my preference whatsoever. And I will do better in the future.
Mahalo.
And Tamara, did you want to discuss why we deactivated the bottom part of the we can just be transparent and with all everyone that, you know, we go ahead, Tamara.
Oh, well, we have had instances in burial council meetings in the past where people Zoom bombed with extremely inappropriate material. And I know it's very frustrating. So we will discuss this for the next meeting as well. You know, we're trying to protect ourselves from that because unfortunately some individuals like to do really inappropriate things in public Zoom meetings. And I have faith in everybody who's here today, but I don't have faith in everybody on earth to not Zoom bomb these kinds of things. So, but we can have further discussions about this and try to be a little bit more pono in the future.
Right. Can I just say one more thing? If people were happy with Shipti, then we wouldn't be having to worry about Zoom bombing. Thank you.
Mahalo, that's appropriate, mahalo. Okay. Did we ask for Sandy Paw?
Not yet. I'm here.
Okay. Yes.
Kapahu Alahangna is what I usually go by. Mahalo. I'm a longtime active community member of Waimanalo. And not to rehash Hunana Niho, but I think that was pretty evident as to the shortcomings of Shipti and even the burial council. It was pretty sad when you have community people who saw and even recorded the person who was selected from outside to do the archaeological report, who sat in her car and wasn't there even, you know, monitoring as she was supposed to. And of course, after that, everything changed. But in listening to all the testimony, and I don't want to rehash that either, I just commend everyone who's coming out and telling their true hands-on experiences, because this really does affect us. I'm a kupuna also, and having to go through and take a stand for Ivi Kupuna was very emotional. But I think what made it worse is that the left hand and the right hand of the so-called government leaders that are in positions, as many of you are, in conducting this meeting, seems like there's a tug and pull there. And ultimately who suffers are the Kanaka. And that should not be, because if the Kuleana is clearly written so that we are not here questioning today, what is it that you actually do? What are the guidelines? Because from what you write in your beautiful, your beautiful plans, everything looks so good on paper, it doesn't happen in real life. And I think that's why sometimes you get the rebuttal you do. But I think transparency is very important. And if you sincerely want to move forward to do things upon a way, along with those people who are here tonight and who are always involved, because you got many kupuna who have been involved in this for a long time, that, you know, really have some deep mana'o, then that needs to be consulted and welcomed, and not, you know, called upon at the last minute when it doesn't allow for, you know, better preparation. So I would like to see two-way communication, not these one-way hearings, where we can have some real dialogue and really address the situation, so that truly, when you say you want to do better, that we can believe it's true, because our input is actually heard and our questions are actually answered. And that is the pono way to move forward. So my pule with all of you, we're in a new year and I know we can move better forward, but I think we also have to put akua first in all we do. And if we use that as a standard, I think we can really, really avoid unnecessary pilikia. Mahalo.
Mahalo nui e ka pahu o lahaina. All right, moving on to the next person, we have Chris Sullivan. Is Chris Sullivan available to testify?
Hi, Chris Sullivan. Hello? Yes, but I provided some written testimony.
Chris Sullivan?
Hello? Hello, oh. Can you hear me?
Can't hear you really well, Chris. Oh,
sorry. I provided testimony, and I'll just I'm just here to listen otherwise, though.
Okay, you're providing written. All right, mahalo, Chris. All right, we're moving on to Ashley Gutierrez. Ashley Gutierrez, are you available to testify? Ashley, going once.
Aloha.
Okay, there we are. Mahalo, Ashley, you have 3 minutes.
Aloha, my name's Ashley Alapa'i Gutierrez. I was born and raised in Halele'a, Kauai. I have a memorandum with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife naming me a cultural monitor of the area. I am also a member of the Konahiki Advisory Council of this Ahupua'a. I usually get called for things like pertaining to development and desecrations in the area. I would like to testify here today on my observations of the difficulty we experience dealing with SHPD and Kauai Island Burial Council. A prime example is Veke Road in Hanalei. I was personally asked by some of the kupunas and the community members that were called to help with the exposed bones. They asked me to find out who to contact, what paperwork needs to be filed, do we file a police report, what steps need to be taken next now that the bones were confirmed in the dug up pile. And I just helped gather the information for the kupunas for them to send in their emails, their paperwork to SHPD, the Burial Council. And to be honest, it's super sad because they got little to no response. They did not respond to my kupunas. They did not tell us, be transparent on what the next steps was, what their burial treatment plan was. There were different groups there for 21 days straight, taking care of the EV, making sure no more construction was going on. They should have stopped after the first findings of the bones. They kept digging, found two more bodies. That should never have happened. We were trying to contact SHPD, KIBC, just to find out what to do, what's happening. We ended up filing the police report. Why is that our job? Whose job is that? And yeah, you know, we just wanted updates from them. And the lack of knowledge and information shared with us, the community, caused friction and distrust with your organizations. The end result of Veke is the EV is buried next to the septic tank for their eternal slumber. What should have happened was they should have moved the entire septic tank. Like, who gave them the go-ahead to keep digging after the first findings? In Molawa'a, there was bones found there that were called inadvertent. And I don't like that word. Inadvertent means something that happens by accident or unexpected. It's the burial council's job to know if that area was once a cemetery. Whose job is it to check with the realtors and the planning department to make sure they are not selling, desecrating our sacred areas before approving permits and selling our sacred land? There needs to be solid agreements created between the realtors, planning committee, SHPD, and burial council to better protect the EV. They should not be able to keep using the term inadvertent findings because they bought an ancient cemetery. You, SHPD, need stronger laws to protect Kupuna EV. Change the old rules, stop ignoring our Kupuna, protect the EV. We are witnesses to the desecration. Mahalo.
Mahalo, Ashley Gutierrez, for your testimony. The last person on the list was, we have two more people, Puanani Rogers. We have Puanani Rogers available to testify.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you have 3 minutes, my dear. Thank you.
Okay, mahalo. Can everybody hear me?
Perfectly, thank you.
Okay. Evelina Maikako, greetings to all that hear my voice, seen and unseen. I ask for the presence of my kupuna to be with me today, because I will be speaking about kupuna burials. Mahalo for the opportunity to respond to your request for public comment to update your present preservation plan, which provides focus of efforts to preserve, protect, and manage places and burials important to our history and culture. I have chosen to focus my comments on burials and based it on our efforts to end the systemic failures of the SHPD, which have led to continuous mass disinterment and desecration of Iwi Kupuna, ancestral remains of Kanaka o Iwi, despite state and federal laws that prohibited such actions for over 3 decades. For the record, my name is Puanani Rogers. I was born 82 years ago, awesome years ago, and I was raised in the Ahupua of Kealia Mokupuni o Kauai. I am a Kanaka o Iwi Wahine whose ancestors are buried here. Therefore, it is my kuleana to be a voice for the bones and to protect them, while simultaneously fostering awareness in our community about burial desecrations. And I've been doing this since 1987. In my advocacy to do that, I have been arrested twice for what I feel were frivolous reasons, while the desecrators got off free. The bones of our ancestors are defined as our most treasured possession by Mary Kavena Kukui. There are bones and burials everywhere on every island, in caves, lava tubes, coastal shores, sand dunes, family burials on their property, etc. Many found our graveyards containing numerous burials in one area. Here in the Ahupua of Wailua Nui Ahuano, which includes the Coco Palms Hotel, which was once heavily populated by royalty and their attendees, is where several burials were discovered. And because we did not want any burials to be marked inadvertent, we told the archaeologist ahead of time that there are burials there and that they will come across burials and cannot call it an inadvertent find. Our ancestors took great care, time and hard work to conceal Naivi, to protect them from desecration. We are taking up that kuleana to continue what they worked hard for. What we found were failures by SHPD to do the same. No proper protocols for reinterment. Just cover the bones up and build your septic tank anyway, or build a driveway for cars to run over Na'ivi every day in an area already designated as a cultural and burial site containing many bones, or developing unaffordable homes and golf courses in Koloa over burial caves and a threat to endangered species, the blind cave spider, and over ancient water aquifers, as well as over heiaus or around heiaus, within the landscapes of the heiaus. Just three incidents of many that we found to be dastardly failing. I would go so far as to say it was sloppy work by your Kauai SHPD representative. I don't believe any effort was made to find lineal descendants. A lot of what is happening there is breaking laws and hiding it from the public knowledge. One thing I am also adamant about is the Na'ivi kupuna that have been disinterred and sitting on shelves at SHPD or in shipping containers, and who knows where else they may be badly mistreated. Despite requests for them to be reinterred immediately, especially the horror of the 800 to 900 bones that are sitting at Kauai Hau Church, it has been to no avail. It's still sitting there. It is also disappointing to learn that our requests for criminal and civil investigations of obvious violations of rule and criminal statutes regarding desecration of a burial, no investigation occurred and no action taken by SHPD, DLNR, or the Department of the Attorney General. There are many more enduring concerns and complaints. Oh yes, I guess you could call this testimony a complaint against your agency, OHA and DLNR. But I will end my words by wishing you all a happy new year, a healthy life, and I hope that what I shared will give you a strong urgency to correct your failures. We have upstanding burial laws to protect our Na'ivi. SHPD should and must enforce these laws to its highest limit. Wake up, Eala'e, live up to your oaths of office and pray for guidance. It is critical that you do. Mahalo again for your time. Ama ma'ua lele noa, ola Na'ivi, the bones live. Thank you.
Mahalo, eo, anake, mahalo for all of your dedication to Ivi Kupuna all these years, anake, mahalo.
Yeah, you're okay. Very welcome.
Thank mahalo. You, dear. Yes, thank you. So we'll ask for Carol Little right now to, Carol Little, are you available for testimony, dear? Carol Little?
I don't know if that's
I'm sorry. Kalamai, Carol Lee. Kalamai, yes, dear, you have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Is that me that you're calling, Carol Lee? Coming
yes, ma'am, Carol Lee, yes.
Okay.
Kalamai.
Mahalo. Mahalo. Aloha, no. My name is Carol Lee Kamikona. And I mahalo you for this opportunity for allowing us to come forward and speak on behalf of our kupuna. I mahalo our lahui also for coming forward and speaking on behalf of our kupuna. Mahalo nui nui to each and every one of you. I would like to start off by saying I take offense to you putting out a pamphlet that states that Ivi burials are part of a historic property that's lumped in with buildings. As it was said earlier, we Kanaka Maoli are very spiritual. Please don't treat our Ivi Kupuna as just a historic property. It's more than that, definitely more than that. I would like to move on by saying archaeology is a field of study which requires certification, which requires graduation. So why is that not a requirement in order to do work here in the islands? On Maui, there are entities that hire people that don't even have any kind of accreditation, yet are considered archaeologists who can speak to the desecration of our kupuna. Hevaloa, hevaloa. I ask that you put in the law, something that requires some kind of certification, like your archaeologists that work for you require a certification, it should be required in order to do work, period, Kopai Aina. I would also like to say, I would like to see some kind of expiration date put on any surveys and tests that are done for any kind of development that needs to be done. It's heva to have a developer that has an AIS that might be 15 years old, approved, and he can use that to develop his project, even though the scope of it may have changed. So I ask that you put an expiration date on these surveys, on these testings, whatever is needed to acquire a permit. Lastly, I would like to say, with regards to your definition for a cultural and lineal descendant, I disagree with the fact that you actually need to have Evie to show in order for you to be recognized as a lineal descendant. I am a culturally recognized descendant with Maui Island Burial Council only because my kupuna existed in the 1400s. In the 1400s, I have no documentation, or can I specifically show a specific Evi so that I can be known as a lineal descendant. If there are written testimonies, if there is documentation by authors during that time frame, i.e. Fornander, that talks about my kupuna who resided in that area, I should be considered a lineal descendant, not just a cultural descendant. With regards to that lineal and cultural descendancy, I have tried to access, there are two heiaus that my kupuna built here in the Honuaula Ahupua'a on Maui. Two heiaus, a lo'i, loko'i'a, that he built, and they talk about it in their books, Fornander does. Yet, I cannot access it because it is in a gated development. I have to go around the beach, climb up the cliff in order to access what my kupuna built. Why is that? Why do we get locked out for developers and rich people? Why? I ask you that. So please look at the definitions of that. Put something in that states that we as Kanaka Maoli, as cultural practitioners, as cultural and lineal descendants, should have access 24/7, 366 without having to ask permission. Those are our kupuna in there, not theirs. It, our heiau should not be somebody's backyard or somebody's side yard, which is what my kupuna's heiau is. It's in somebody's backyard that I can't access, but he built it. Hevaloa. So thank you. Mahalo. Mahalo for this time.
Mahalo, Carolee, for your mana'o. Right now, we're going to hook you back to the people that weren't here, and we're going to see if they're here now. So the Kamaunus, Kaniloa and Johanna, are either of you here available to testify? Kaniloa Kamaunu, Johanna Kamaunu. Okay. I think Michelle Lincoln. Is Michelle Lincoln available to testify? And I think that's it, Tamara. I think at this point, we decided we were going to take additional testimony. You want to detail that for them so that we can get the process going?
Absolutely. So I think now we're opening the floor to other people who are here. Auntie Clara Pana requested to be allowed to testify for 3 more minutes as she has to go to another meeting. Oh, Allison Lewis said she did not get to go. So let's go ahead and let Allison do that. Then Auntie Claire, and then Ke'eo Moku Kapu has also requested to testify. And Rosalind Nicole is also requesting. So at some point soon, Ka'ahiki, I'm going to give the host capabilities over to you so you can see.
Ekalamai tomorrow. Rupert Rowe is on and would like to speak.
We okay. will, what we'll do right now is we're going to go back to the original people that RSVP'd that didn't speak. We have one more person, and then we're going to have everyone sign up to testify in the chat. And it'll go according to who signs up in the chat. That'll be the number. So that'll be the way that we're going to first, whoever signs up first will testify first and so forth. Is that correct, Tamara, the process?
Yes, that sounds correct. I'm starting to get a lot of requests in the chat, so I am going to take note of who requested first, and we will go ahead and address anyone who didn't get a chance to testify yet who initially RSVP'd, and then we'll start with these the next one.
Before we do that, though, I think, is everyone available? I mean, is everyone open to just take a 5-minute hale ho'opau pilikia break? We'll just take say 5 minutes. Is that agreeable? We'll take 5 minutes.
Yes.
And then we'll come back. Yes. So it is right now, it is 7:00. At 7:05, we will resume once again. So everyone, okay. Please go do what you need to do. And thank you for being here so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mahalo ana ke pua nani. All right, aloha kako, welcome back. Thank you for hanging in there. I know it's Friday. We really appreciate everyone online and sticking with us. The chat is open now, and so we will be taking additional testimony from those that have not had a chance to testify. You can also submit written testimony to our email address that's in the chat, that Tamara put in the chat, that's also located on our SHPD website with the announcement about the preservation plan. So far, what we have here for testimony, and this is the order it will go, 3 minutes each. We will begin with Auntie Claire Apana, Allison Lewis, Kameo Nakane, Keomoku Kapu, Rosalyn Nicole, and Gail Kuule Perez. That is the order. The chat is open. And so if you choose to testify, please submit to the chat. We will begin right now with Anake Claire Apana. Anake, are you available? Claire Apana? Okay, we'll
she did mention we'll hold you back. She had to drop off. She mentioned she had to drop off at 7:15, so let's give her maybe a couple more seconds and then we can move on.
Okay, certainly. After Anake Claire Apana will be Allison Lewis, and then Kimeo Nakane, Rosalyn Nicole, Keomoku Kapu, Rosalyn Nicole, and Gail Kuule Perez. Anake Claire Apana, are you on board again? So maybe what we'll do is we'll just ask her if she wouldn't mind to submit written, or she can come to our next meeting and we can have her be first on our list. How's that? Okay. All right. Since Anake Claire, one more time, are you available? All right. So the next person we'll go to is Allison Lewis. And after Allison Lewis, Kimeo Nakane. So Allison, are you available?
Yes.
3 minutes. Thank you, dear. You have 3 minutes.
Okay. Thank you for everyone who testified already. And I think that there's four more of these meetings, right? You guys are going to give us the dates for four more?
Absolutely. Yes, we will. Okay. Thank you.
So the questions I had written down is reading back through your report from the last time that you guys did your plan. There was last time a 27-person advisory committee with, and I wondered if there's the same thing this year and who's on it or how we can see that list. Also, I wanted to know if you could answer how much federal money does SHPD get each year? And how much of it is allocated to each thing, like how much of it is allocated to help with